From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is called Back, Then Forward. The text is Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 60. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Notwithstanding our sins, the Lord is still faithful in his love to us. He looks back. See how he remembers those early days of ours when he took us into covenant with himself, and we gave ourselves over to him. Happy days, those. The Lord does not twit us with them and charge us with being insincere. No, he looks rather to his covenant with us rather than to our covenant with him. There was no hypocrisy in that sacred compact on his part, at any rate. How gracious is the Lord thus to look back in love! He looks forward also. He is resolved that the covenant shall not fail. If we do not stand to it, he does. He solemnly declares, I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. He has no mind to draw back from his promises. Blessed be his name. He sees the sacred seal, the blood of the everlasting covenant, and he remembers our surety, in whom he ratified that covenant, even his own dear Son. And therefore he rests in his covenant engagements. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. O Lord, lay this precious word upon my heart, and help me to feed upon it all this day.
As life's secret, its wisdom imparts to all who will speak it, rejoicing their hearts. From matter's conclusion, the beauty of man, hear God and his statutes, obey his demands. The fear of the Lord, the fear.
Receive godly wisdom and listen to gold. Apply understanding and watch it unfold.
cry after knowledge, O lift up your voice. Seek wisdom as builders, so you may rejoice. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows. It's blessing and honor and comfort is God.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Perverting the Privileges of God's Grace, part of this series of studies in the book of Romans. In chapter 2 of Romans, verses 17 through 29, Paul explained the privileges enjoyed by the people of Israel. Yet he also shows how Israel abused those privileges, for they came to regard outward religious observance as being equal with acceptance by God, and ignoring the righteousness which alone could give them a right standing before God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They knew the truth of God in their heads, but they had no heart experience of Christ, without which no man can be saved. Mere intellectual assent to the gospel is not enough. In addition, the Jews' reliance on the law alone for salvation affected those around them, producing a deadly attitude of self-confidence. Rather than God giving the law as a means of salvation, He gave it in order to show men their sin and to drive them to Christ, for saving power is found only in the work of the Holy Spirit applying Christ to the heart, producing works of holiness, the evidence of our justification. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, perverting the privileges of God's grace.
The hypocrisy of life has an influence and an effect upon the people with whom these Jews are interacting. You're teaching them. You're saying one thing, but you're living another. I've often in this pulpit told you how that was brought home to my heart as a very young fellow. Without giving much of my biography tonight, it's not particularly interesting, and it certainly doesn't. We don't have time. I was supposed to go to college to train as a school teacher. It's a sort of a different system we had over there. But I was to go to this place to train as a school teacher. God had mercy on the school children and diverted me from that. It left me for a while to having to do something else before I came in to study for the ministry. Not that I at that time had any thought of studying for the ministry. So, trembling, very much afraid, I went to work in the office of, actually it was a branch office of the largest insurance brokerage in the world. Very prestigious firm with a very, very humble junior clerk as you would call them. And I was scared. But I went into that office with a vow. I said, Lord, as soon as I get the chance, I am going to nail my colors to the mast, and I am going to take my stand for God as a Christian. And that came around, and the Lord helped me to do that. A lot of girls in the place. I was more afraid of them than I was of anybody else. They were very scary creatures. They still are, believe me. I'd rather fight with a man any day than fight with his wife. And she's laughing at that, but it's true. There was one particularly scary creature there. She was loved by all the men, and she was hated by all the women, or most of the women. Because she was one of the most beautiful girls in all of Northern Ireland. She was literally the poster girl for a very locally very famous gymnasium. Gymnasium that produced one of our country's few gold medalists at the Olympic Games. So she was cattily described, shall I say, by some of the other young ladies. I have to be honest, I never had the slightest interest in her except to win her soul for Christ. But she was hard to talk to. She hated religion, and she hated God, and she said, I am an atheist. But the Lord opened the door, and I got to talk to her. And as I was speaking to her, the son of one of our directors, who had a very real interest in her, a forlorn hope, mind you, but he had a real interest. He saw she was willing to stand talk to me, quotes about religion, so he started talking religious as well. I will never forget that scene. She wheeled on him like a tigress, and she blazed the words. Her eyes were aflame and her words were as hot as coals. She said, you are just a dirty little hypocrite. And it's people like you who have people like me the way we are. When all the other filth is going on in the office, you're there. But once you see him talking to me about religion, then you can talk religion. You're just a hypocrite. Man, was I glad that though far from perfect, I had a testimony that could stand. But it taught me just how vile a thing hypocrisy is. How hurtful a thing hypocrisy is. And that's why Paul goes on in verse 24 to talk about the iniquitous influence that these people have who pervert the privileges of the gospel, who present themselves as Christians while all the time they are not Christians at all. Those are the products of such perversion. Now let me finish, and I'm sure you'll all say amen to that. Let me finish. And I'll finish with a few precepts that we should remember in connection with these privileges that I have mentioned. Number one, the substance of the covenant of grace has been and still is the satisfaction of God's law. In His covenant, God has undertaken to supply His people with a perfect legal righteousness. He did it for Abraham. He justified him by faith alone. Under the Mosaic economy, He not only gave the moral law to convict men and to drive them to their knees, He gave them the ceremonial law, the blood atonement of Christ pictured in the slaying of the sacrifices, so that the moral law would be satisfied by Him for us and in us obeyed out of love for Him. The substance of the covenant of grace is the satisfaction of the law. Now, I can't take time in that tonight except to refer you to what I've said from this pulpit again and again. The whole knowledge of the Bible comes down to an understanding of law and grace. If you don't grasp that, you really know little or nothing about what this book is teaching. The standard of the law never changes and never will. Can you produce a perfect righteousness according to the law of God? If not, you'll never be in heaven. But how can we do it? The conviction that we can't do it drives us to Christ who has done it. That's the gospel. He has done it. To us is pardon and perfect righteousness with which to stand before God. That's the first precept. Never forget it. Second, the covenant sign is useless without the substance of what it signifies. Verse 25. Look at it very carefully. Circumcision profiteth if thou keep the law, but if you're a lawbreaker, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Put the word baptism in there and you'll get the New Testament counterpart. Baptism indeed has its profitability, but if you have baptism, but you don't have the substance of the matter, then your baptism is useless. That's the argument. He turns it around in 26 and 27. That the substance is sufficient without the sign. Now let me make this clear. Paul is not here saying that the Gentiles are accepted by trying their best to keep the law of God. He's not saying that. It is purely a hypothetical statement. He's saying if it's true that circumcision profits nothing because you break the law, then a Gentile who fulfills the law would be counted as if he were in the covenant, just as if he were circumcised. In other words, again, it's the substance that matters. I believe that every Christian should be baptized. I've never got to the old people's fellowship, the senior fellowship, adult fellowship. I haven't got there yet to give them my lecture on baptism to counteract some of the... we'll not get into that. I believe every Christian should be baptized. This church gives people a great degree of latitude in their interpretation of baptism, as long as they don't fall into baptismal regeneration. But we don't discount baptism. But let me tell you what Paul is teaching, and this is something that sects and cults have got away from. All the baptismal regenerationists miss it. All those who teach you must be baptized to be saved miss it. What Paul is teaching is that the substance is effective even without the sign. In other words, when you get baptized, you'll not be more of a Christian than you were before. Now that is not a good reason for not being baptized. A little later this year we'll have a baptismal service, and I trust that many of you will be exercised to be baptized. But you're not more of a Christian, you're not made a Christian by baptism, you are saved by grace, and the substance is Christ. The final thing is this: saving power is found only in the work of the Holy Ghost, who circumcises the heart. In other words, who conforms our will and works to the law of God. That's verse 28 and 29. Saving power in the Holy Ghost actually applying Christ to the heart, producing a holiness as the proof of our justification. Let me wrap it all up tonight. Paul's burden was to show that it's a damning folly to go out to meet God hoping to be saved because you have received the privileges of the Christian church. You need more than an external relationship. I have often said this: if you could look into hell tonight, there are Presbyterians in hell. I fear there are Free Presbyterians in hell. There are Baptists in hell, and Episcopalians in hell, and Methodists in hell, and Roman Catholics in hell. You need more than external rites and relationship. You need more than empty profession. Could you look into hell tonight? I fear you would see people who had walked the aisle maybe 50 times, who had signed the decision card, who had joined the church. You need more than empty profession. You need more than lip service to the truth of God. What we need tonight, and I pray God that He'll get it through to every heart, is a perfect legal standing that comes only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that produces in us a genuine holiness of heart and life. The chapter ends on a solemn note, but a glorious note. Those who have Christ do not have the praise of men. But they have the praise of God. And that's amazing. Can you imagine it? God gives us the gift of righteousness. That's what He calls it. The gift of eternal life. And then He praises us for having it. Grace indeed. We'll not have the praise of the world. But I think of what Paul said, or should I say John said, as he finished his second chapter of the first epistle. He said, "Now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him in His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Not because they do righteousness are they born, but because they are born of Him, they do righteousness. Let us forget what the world may think or say. Don't let us live our lives in fear of man. But let us look forward to that day when, even as we have been reading early in Romans chapter 2, the secrets of man's heart will be judged by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Let us look forward to that day. Let us make sure we will not need to be ashamed before Him at His coming. Make sure, in other words, you have more than the name, the reputation of a Christian. Make sure tonight you are genuinely saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We pray that Thou wilt make it a living and powerful word, that after the voice of man is silent, the blessed Spirit of God will apply the word to every heart. And we ask that this night Thou wilt penetrate the defenses that false religion and religious profession would use to surround hearts and keep them from Christ. O Lord, we thank Thee that the heart that flees to Jesus will find acceptance. We thank Thee, our God, that the soul that would rely on the Lord Jesus will find eternal rest. Oh, we pray that Thou wilt bring sinners out of self-righteousness into Christ. And God, grant that there not be one person here tonight who will come and go from the place of the holy, perverting the very privilege of hearing the word of life. Hear us now, O God, and give fruit for the preaching of Thy word. Part us with Thy blessing. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people, both now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name and through the merits of His atoning blood. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.